here we go with another episode of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, and I am doing another solo one. This is on Saturday night after the last game of the night, the Grizzlies and Wolves, and I'm a little hot from that game, so I figured why not, if I'm on fire, just to hop on here and start doing some ranting, which feels like what everyone does this time of year anyways with the playoffs. So just like Twitter, here's my 2 cents that no one wants. So just going to be me tonight, giving Daniel a little day off. We'll probably have some sort of Grizz 901. I might be hopping on here with him to actually talk about that game. This is kind of an observations things for a thing, couple things I've seen so far. I don't know how long this episode will be. This might get into a major soapbox rant mode, which I'm going to try very hard not to. But these are things that I've noticed that I've been kind of jotting down throughout the first round. And most of these series are 3 games in now. Some of them, I think most of them are about 3 games heading to their fourth game heading to their 5th game in these first round series. And a lot of them are not going kind of how we expected. We expected some teams to already be done by now in a sweep, and some teams are even 2-2. And so this is going to be kind of an observations, what I've seen so far in the first round that have stuck out to me. So not really a complaint corner, but just kind of discussing what has been going on and kind of my thoughts and feelings about it. So the first one I do actually want to start about that Timberwolves and Grizzlies series. Now, I know I just said I'm going to have a recording probably with Daniel in the next day or two talking about the actual game itself for the Grizzlies. But I did kind of want to talk about the actual dynamic with Karl Anthony Towns, because he has had a couple dud games and everybody's been on his case. The only people that have defended Karl Anthony Towns are Timberwolves fans. It's because of the antics, the flopping. He's doing the jerking motions. He's a hard guy to actually officiate if you're a ref, because he's always pretending like he's hurt or hit or he got shot or someone chopped his leg out from under him. He's just a hard guy to officiate because he flops on absolutely everything he does. I don't think he's actually taken a real shot this whole Grizzlies Timberwolves series, and it's been an up and down series. I think you can make a pretty strong argument that the Timberwolves should actually be up in this series 3-1, and the fact that it's 2-2 it's shocking, really, which really explains why the Timberwolves are a 7 seed. But the biggest questions I have, I went to game 2 in person here in Memphis, and I don't know if I want to give away all of my thoughts about that, because obviously we do a lot of stuff on the off season. So I just don't think Karl Anthony Towns is someone that you can look to being within that franchise long term. I think it's Anthony Edwards' team. I don't know what will happen with D'Angelo Russell, but I certainly think there needs to be a reset of sort, because Karl Anthony Towns is just not that guy where you can depend on to, maybe he'll have a good series against someone like the Grizzlies where it's kind of an advantageous matchup. But overall, like going forward, if somehow the Timberwolves were to advance to the second round, it's done in 4 or 5 games. They might catch one, you never know. But Karl Anthony Towns is just not a big that I think you want on your team that is going to be a successful team long term. So I think in the past, we've always kind of been like, well, Karl Anthony Towns is really good, but look at the team around him. They can't do anything. Then Jimmy Butler showed up, and all of a sudden that team was competent with Jimmy Butler, and that was still when Andrew Wiggins is there. And then Jimmy Butler's gone, and it's back to irrelevance. So now Anthony Edwards is there, D'Angelo Russell, subtraction by addition. They've got other role pieces that play hard, Jared Vanderbilt, Naz Reid. Michael Beasley was a good pickup, but it's just Karl Anthony Towns. He's just not a winning basketball player, good individual player. And if he gets hot, then he's hot and good for him, but he's just a head case who is not going to ever, we're never, this is the best we're going to see from Karl Anthony Towns. I do not see another way that he's going to be able to raise his game to take it to another level. I think what you're getting in this playoff series, this is the Karl Anthony Towns you're always going to get for the rest of his career. So I don't know what's going to happen from here with this series. It is tied 2-2, but that's just kind of my thoughts from watching Cat. His teammates, when they're out on him, they're out on him. And you see it very apparently in the game. So it's not a guy you're going into the foxholes, so to speak. I mean, throwing an old school term at you. But he's not a guy you want to go to war with. And that's just kind of how I observed watching that series with Karl Anthony Towns. Another one, obviously, everyone has been talking about is the injuries. Yes, it's unfortunate, but at least we haven't had anyone who is actually done for the entire postseason that's a big name, as far that I know of. I mean, Joel Embiid has had the thumb thing, and I know that's going to be not a comfortable thing to play with, especially with everybody swiping on him. But like Chris Middleton, obviously, with the knee, Fred VanVleet's out. Devin Booker, I mean, a lot. You can go down the list. And obviously, the biggest thing everyone says is that the NBA season is too long. I don't know what the appropriate amount of games is. Everyone seems to think that if you move the season to 72 games, all of a sudden, it's going to give players more rest and there's going to be less injuries. I just think that's dumb if you think that's actually going to cause that. Most of these players play 70 games anyways now, even less. So most NBA players are playing 60 to 70 regardless. I mean, sure, there's a few Ironmen out there just like Mikal Bridges who's played every single game. But it's few and far between now. Most of these teams, most of these guys, if they're top guys, even the subs, even eighth men, are playing 65 to 75 games. So to me, to say that, well, this is why we go to 72 games, we'll have less injuries, I think that's just complete stupidity. That's not going to change anything at all. So shorten the season if you want. I don't care. I get it makes it more competitive. But hey, look on the flip side. Everyone's mad about the regular season because it's of no consequence. And it absolutely is not. But if you shorten it and saying it's going to be a more competitive regular season, what do you think happens in a more competitive regular season? Injuries, maybe? Do you think you might get an uptick in injuries like you do, like we have seen in this first round of the playoffs because the intensity has gone up? Could that possibly be a causation of shortening an NBA season and quote-unquote making it more entertaining and more pressure-packed? I don't know. I think that's the guesswork of it. So I'm sure eventually with enough push, the NBA might consider going to 72 games, but it's not fixing the injuries. Okay. So injuries are always going to be part of the playoffs. Do they suck? Yes. Could they potentially swing a couple of these first round series? Maybe. I mean, the Suns, I know they're up 2-1 on the Pelicans right now. If they lose game 4, are they in danger of losing to an 8-seed Pelicans because Devin Booker is out? That's possible. Would it be a bummer because they were the title favorites before that injury? Yeah. But this is just a part of life. The Bucks probably going to get passed by the Bulls pretty easily unless something happens pretty wild in game 4. But this is just a part of the NBA game and has always been a part of it. Luckily for us, some of the bigger name guys aren't out for the entire playoffs and project to come back, and their teams are projected to advance to the second round anyway. So I think it'll be okay. I think this kind of overreaction to injuries, well, this is why it needs to be shorter, I think that's largely overblown, and don't think that fixes a thing if you shorten the NBA season like it seems very, very popular by everyone to suggest would fix injuries. It's just stupid. The other thing is the whole Kevin Durant, wanting Kevin Durant to fail thing. I don't know if it's because we had a group of people trying to compare him to LeBron, saying he's the better. But why was it the worst thing for his career, apparently, to go to the Warriors and win a couple championships? Why is it all of a sudden that he left? Oh, he left this. Obviously, that situation didn't go well. And it was Steph Curry's team. And he won a couple championships. What are they, probably easier championships? I don't know. Maybe. But to be constantly upset at Kevin Durant for doing what he wanted to do, and that was team up with Kyrie Irving and try something different on his own, I don't get why we as fans are so invested in watching one of the best NBA players we've ever seen fail. Now, is he a top 10, top 15 player of all time? I think so. As an avid fan for a long time, I think he's one of the top 10, top 15 best players the NBA has ever seen. One of the best scoring forwards the league will ever see. And we are so invested as a fan base, especially LeBron stands and Warriors stands, and everyone seems very interested, excited, and hopeful that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving would fail. And I think that's just weird behavior. Why are you openly rooting for this? If you're one of those people, then you're probably not really an NBA fan. You're probably not a big basketball fan. You're just a casual watcher who pays attention to Twitter and just hates on people because of what you've seen on Twitter, not because of their actual basketball game. So I question people when they root for other people to fail. Now, it's one thing to criticize for what he's doing in game, or what they're not doing in games. And has he been super aggressive? No. Has he shot poorly? Yeah. And we can criticize that for sure. And give a lot of credit to Boston Celtics for their defense that they have put on Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. But to be the segment that hopes he fails, and this is the what you get for leaving the Warriors and Steph Curry, or you'll never win anything without the Warriors, you're an idiot for leaving, you deserve to lose for the rest of your career? That's weirdo behavior, and you should be better. So stop doing that. To get to an actual team, now I know this series is just tied up 2-2, but for the Utah Jazz, there's no way. They have to win the NBA championship to bring this team back. There is just nothing about this team that really makes sense to me going forward long-term for Donovan Mitchell. And I feel like that is the prize for the Utah Jazz. I feel like they are clearly invested in keeping Donovan Mitchell for the long-term. And 100% that is what their plan should be. So this should be, if whenever this ends, it's going to end for the Utah Jazz this year. They're not making the finals. They're not winning the NBA championship. And if they do, then something has gone horribly wrong with this playoffs, because they're in danger of losing to the Mavs without Luka. Now, I know Luka came back in game 4, and the Jazz pulled it out at the end on a Donovan Mitchell alley-oop pass to Rudy Gobert, which, who had that on their bingo card this year? But this is just not a Jazz team. We've seen the same thing for every year. This is like their 5th trip around the sun, and it's just not going to happen. And that's okay. You can be a good team, and I get that you're upset if you don't make the finals. Not every NBA team on the planet in their peak run is going to make the NBA finals. It's just not going to happen for people. But when it's time to end, you know it's time to end. And even if the Utah Jazz win this series, like I said, nothing short of an NBA championship will keep this team together. And even then, it could be like a Mavs situation when Dirk finally won his first one and they just completely gutted that team. It could be that kind of situation anyway. So they're going to keep Donovan at all costs. I think the Jazz are going to be a flea market this summer. And guess what? It's been a pretty entertaining series. So yeah, I don't want to root for anybody to fail. You just have to call it when you see it, when the shot clock has expired on a team's run. And it's expired. The other thing I kind of want to talk about, Desmond Bain, Jordan Poole, like both of those guys have been awesome. Poole has taken over the mantle, and maybe this is the part of it that everyone's kind of feeding in with the Kevin Durant thing, with Kevin Durant leaving the Warriors. Now Poole has stepped into this role, and it's the new lineup of death post Kevin Durant, that big idiot. That kind of whole stupid narrative that everybody's having. let's relax a little bit on the whole new lineup of death thing. I get it that they have had an insane net offensive rating with that lineup, but it still is Jordan Poole. I like Jordan Poole. I think he's a really good player. I get they're probably about to sweep the Nuggets tomorrow. The Nuggets are obviously going to fight tooth and nail to not get swept. So you're going to get, obviously it's a playoffs. You get an all-in effort every game, but this one even more so. They're not going to want to get swept. So I just want to be cautious about saying that the Warriors have a new lineup of death and that they are just going to blow people out. A la 2016, 17, whatever the last year they're in the championship, 2018. 19, I guess, without the injuries. So I caution people about getting too excited about this because this Warriors team is old, man. Like, you, Klay's first playoffs in 3 years, I believe. Steph is coming off the bench, rehabbing something. Draymond is one tweaked hamstring away from being done in a series. This team's more on life support than it is on an actual strong run to make an NBA championship. Not to saying that they can't, but this team is extremely old and fragile. And as soon as one of those three go down, you really expecting Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole to take up the mantle for one of those three core people being out and they're going to make an NBA championship? Good luck. But the other person, Desmond Bane, he has been the absolute rock for the Memphis Grizzlies. He's averaging like 23 points on 49% shooting from three. And the Grizzlies are swept if Desmond Bane is not doing what he's doing in this series. Multiple 30-point games already. And he has been awesome for the first round. So those have been kind of two guys who have been awesome. But I am cautious about both going forward. And it's the same with Bane. Like, once the three-point shot is not falling for him, what's kind of the fallback? And Poole, who has been amazing, going from his story with the G League to basically being 1A on the Warriors in the first round, beating up a okay Denver Nuggets team, but severely depleted and deficient. Both guys have been awesome in revelations in the first round. Both guys, I would caution getting too hyped up and certain that they're going to keep doing what they're doing if they progress deeper into the NBA playoffs. Just a couple more of these and then we'll go for this week. Another thing, kind of observations, is has there been a call, like an NBA game, where the announcer was an ex-NBA player or an ex-NBA coach and they haven't complained about the foul rules? Is this just a thing we're always going to talk about? I mean, how many times do I have to hear, well, back in my day, you know, 10 years ago, that hit across the face is, you know, it's fine. But now they got to review it. It's a flagrant one. Like, we know. We've been watching basketball as probably as long as you have. We've probably watched a lot of you guys coach live or play live. We know how the rules have changed. We don't need someone who's going to sit there and complain about it all the time. We get it. Let's stop that, announcers. Let's actually have something interesting to say. That's the thing. I feel like they are only saying it to fill time because they have no idea what to say because they suck at announcing. So I've always never been a big fan of the ex-NBA player, ex-coach announcing crew anyways, besides, like, you know, Jeff Van Gundy is good. Some of them are okay, but the majority of them don't know what they're doing. And the only reason they're there is because they're an ex-NBA player and needed a job. So, like, no one cares. You can complain about the fouls all you want. We get it. 15 years ago, you could have hit somebody on a box out in the neck and it would have been fine. We get it. We don't care about it now. So please, can we kind of get over that a little bit? The rules are the rules. Let's move on. Let's just say this is what it's going to be. Let's move on. Not have to throw your tidbit how back in 1998, you could have crashed the glass and shivered somebody and it would have just been a common foul. We get it. And the last thing. This one, I don't know how I'm going to go. I'm going to have to stop myself short on this one because this is going to be a rant. Because I'm going to need Cody or Daniel with me to talk this out, because I feel like we have talked about this before on an episode, and I haven't really formulated my final opinion on it, but Stan Van Gundy did say the other day that, you know, the Grizzlies came back from 26 points on the Wolves and all that kind of stuff, and we've had a lot of teams come back from large double-digit deficits to win the games outright. And he said, you know, the high variance of the three-point line, we shouldn't get so surprised when a big comeback occurs, because they're more likely to happen now. And it kind of gets me thinking about the actual quality of the NBA. Because all you hear about is that it's the deepest the league has ever been. It's the most efficient, more points scored, a range of athletes. It's smaller league, more three-point shooting, and so you're going to have that variance. Does all of that really add up to there actually being more talent in the NBA? I know Steph Curry has changed the NBA in a way that it'll probably never go back with shooting. The problem is there's only one Steph Curry, and there might be someone in the future that shoots like him. Obviously, there probably will, with everyone now wanting to be a long-range bomber now. So there'll probably be another Steph, just like there was another, Reggie Miller, after Reggie, after Ray Allen. There'll probably be another Steph, potentially. But for everyone else, this is why the variance is starting to show for me, is maybe the skill level of a lot of these guys actually really isn't that high if we truly look at it. And is the game really better? Now, it is better aesthetically to watch more wings run up and down the court and get out in open court, shoot more threes. Certainly, I'm not longing for the days where we threw the ball in the post and the guy backed someone down for 18 seconds and the final scores of NBA games were 68-72. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just kind of thinking out loud about, is the skill level and the talent really that deep? Are we sure about that? Is the NBA really the deepest it's ever been? Because I actually think it's not. And this is why I need to talk about this more. We'll frame this in another future conversation, maybe over the summer with Cody and Daniel, because everyone, if the threes aren't going down for some teams, what's their backup plan? They have none. Like, how easy is it to guard if you can simply run someone off the three-point line and you know they're probably not going to finish on the back end? How easy is that to defend? And I get it. It's more possessions, so they're missing shots, and another team get up and down, and that's why we're getting more points. But I'm just curious if that whole moniker of the league is the deepest it's ever been. Maybe it's the deepest it's ever been, but it's certainly not the most skilled it's ever been. Does that make sense? I'm just starting to think on this, so you're getting these off the top of my head thoughts as they're coming to me, so I don't know. It's just odd. Like, these runs, they just shouldn't happen like this. They shouldn't happen as frequently. And maybe that's why the Suns have been one of the best teams in the NBA and made the finals last year. It's not a strict reliance on an NBA three-point line. It's they bring it back the mid-range game. They have two guys in Devin Booker and Chris Paul extremely skilled. And all their wing players and post player is skilled. So I get it. You can call ball handling skills if you want to. But there is a different skill to be able to manipulate a high pick and roll and then be able to create offense off of that instead of just running straight to the paint and kicking out to somebody. There's more skill involved to actually have touch around the rim and finish instead of just blindly sprinting at someone or kicking out to a three. So is it deep? Maybe. Is it as skilled? I actually tend to not think so. Yeah, I think I'm going to end on that. I know that's a little random and ranty, but that's start of a process on a thought with that. So you got that one live, so you're welcome for that. But that's going to be our episode this week. Hopefully we'll get back next week. Maybe we'll have some resolutions to some of these series. I would think most of them are going to be done by this week, by next week anyways, next time we record. So hopefully we'll have Daniel and Cody back in the fold. I just kind of jumped the gun on this one since I was hot after the Grizzlies-Warriors game. So I thought, why not? Let's just keep this thing rolling. So thank you for tuning in and listening. See you guys next Monday. Enjoy another great week of NBA playoff basketball.